We've been reading consecutively from third canto Bhagavatam. Now we're in section chapter 29 that's called Explanation of Devotional Service. The person who is speaking is Lord Kapiladev, an incarnation of Krishna who appeared very early in Satya Yuga. Devahuti Putra Kapila, teaching he's especially known for teaching Sankhya philosophy, Sankhya Yoga. But that Sankhya Yoga, this section explains, it leads to devotion, it leads to eventually unmixed devotion. And the question that Devahuti has asked, which is now being answered, is, could you please describe that unmixed devotion, please? That first devotion, then he describes mixed with the modes of nature, and then unmixed, unmotivated, without unmotivated means, without an interest separate from the personality of Godhead's interest, the Lord's interest. No separate interest. So that's what pure devotion is. And after giving that explanation, Kapiladev then describes how that pure devotion what it looked like in different areas of one's life. So two verses ago was how it looks in the performance of duties. And then he describes how it looks, or the function of deity worship, archana, process. One who's fixed in pure devotion sees the deity in this way, and there's some contrasting description. This is just summary writing yesterday. There are persons that are really neophyte, and they don't see the same way the person who is fixed in pure devotion sees, although the function may be the same. Consciousness and participation in that activity is not identical. So it's kind of this compare and contrast method. And then also yesterday, along with deity worship, how to see other living entities, and one should see them, the messages, same as Bhagavad Gita's message, as a spiritual spark. Pandita Samadarshana. See their spiritual identity and don't think of the person simply as the covering and the designation label that goes along with the covering. Although there may be a covering, there is a covering, and there is a social position for that person or even species of life. This is in the state of pure devotion, how does one see others and offers respect accordingly. So then this morning, text 17, the pure devotee should execute devotional service by giving the greatest respect to the spiritual master and the acharyas. He should be compassionate to the poor and make friendship with persons who are his equals. But all his activities should be executed under regulation and with control of the senses. Before reading the purport, this explanation is found many places in the Bhagavatam. It's instruction, how to see the various positions of living entities. So, worship God as the supreme living entity. Make friendship with devotees. Those who are innocent, extend kindness and compassion to them. The one that's not mentioned is those that are grossly averse, atheistic people, avoid that association. Then the other message is, do that under regulation and guidance of the spiritual master. So here's four paragraph purport. In Bhagavad Gita, 13th chapter, it is clearly stated that one should execute devotional service and advance on the path of spiritual knowledge by accepting the Acharya. Acharyupasanam, that's the phrase in chapter 13, text number 8. Acharyupasanam. One should worship an Acharya, a spiritual master, who knows things as they are. Knows things as they are means has proper sambandhagyan. Everything comes from one source, the Supreme, Absolute Truth. Understanding things as they are is to understand the relationship of those things to the Supreme and then acts accordingly. The spiritual master must be in the disciplic succession from Krishna. The predecessors of the spiritual master are his spiritual master, his grand spiritual master, his great grand spiritual master, and so on, who form the disciplic succession of acharyas. They go to it a little differently than yesterday. After each paragraph, make some comment. This, like kings, like Krishna is speaking to Arjuna about the lineage of kings in which he comes, the royal family. An elevated person, like Arjuna, a cultured person, will want to be a follower of their predecessor kings, or the lineage of great personalities from which they have come, or in which they are found, to take their birth. That, you know, the converse is that it's a check that I will not dishonor my forefathers, my predecessor kings, or those in my lineage. I'll act in a way that's bringing glory and fame and expanding the reputation of those persons. One sees, this is cultural, one sees oneself as subordinate and meant to give honor and dignity and respect to those personalities. And same principle as in the material side and the spiritual side. In this line of disciplic succession principle, there may be a present acharya, but that present acharya, one of the principal qualifications of that acharya is they're submissive to the previous acharya. And that previous acharya is submissive to the previous acharya, and so they're submissive to those, the line of disciplic succession. Again, they're representing that line of disciplic succession. They have no interest other than that line of the same principle as before. The pure devotion is there's no separate interest. So their interest becomes my interest. So I would like to know what their interest is. What would they like? What was it that they gave emphasis to? How did they explain such and such? And my explanations should conform. It's like Madhvacharya. Interesting. He had, it's a long detailed description, but he, in the course of his preparing commentary on Vedanta Sutra, he had contact with writings of previous teachers in the line from which Vyasa Dev had taught, and he was putting all of that together in a systematic way. But to get confirmation, his intention was to go and meet Vyasadeva and ask Vyasadeva, is this correct? So he sat before in a higher dimensional space according to the life of Madhvacharya. He went and Vyasadeva heard his explanations and confirmed. So it was from him, confirmed by him, not something independent. Like, you know, so a brilliant acharya personality is only wishing to represent the previous acharyas, the point. And there are some wonderful examples of all of that. Next paragraph. It is recommended herewith that all the acharyas be given the highest respect. It is stated, Gurushu Nara Matihi. Gurushu means unto the acharyas, and Nara Matihi means thinking like a common man. To think of the Vaishnavas, the devotees, as belonging to a particular caste or community. To think of the acharyas as ordinary men. Or to think of the deity in the temple as being made of stone, wood or metal, is condemned. Then another word in the text is niyamena. Niyamena, one should offer the greatest respect to the acharyas according to the standard regulations. A devotee should also be compassionate to the poor. This does not refer to those who are poverty-stricken materially. According to devotional vision, a man is poor if he is not in Krishna consciousness. A man may be very rich materially, but if he is not Krishna conscious, he is considered poor. On the other hand, many acharyas, such as Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, used to live beneath trees every night. Superficially, it appears that they were poverty-stricken. But from their writings, we can understand that in spiritual life, they were the richest personalities. Prabhupada writes, I believe it's in Ishopanishad, that one of the greatest obstacles, there's many, one of the greatest obstacles in presenting spiritual understanding in the world is the projection upon those who are spiritual personalities is their job, their gift to the world is to do philanthropic. Open hospitals and schools and feed the poor and do philanthropy. When Prabhupada's statement is here, the poor is anyone that doesn't have spiritual knowledge. So rather this philanthropy thing, that's a government function, not the Brahmana function, it's a Kshatriya function. It's take care of the praja, the citizens. And the citizens may need this and that and the other thing, and so they are the agents of overseeing that. They may engage some brahmanas as teachers in those facilities, but seeing to those things is not the function of the sadhu. But that has become expected, not only in India, that sadhus do those things and are expected to do those things and they're honored and glorious if they do those things. It's a no-no if you don't do those things. Mm-hmm. What are you doing for the people? Mm-hmm. Without, there's anecdotal descriptions of that kind of message. Bhaktisiddhanta in particular, just one reference, is he was spoken to like that, what are you doing for the poor people? And his reply, everyone is poor. the paucity of spiritual understanding is everywhere. And supposing you give somebody meal or medical care, which is nice, so those things are not to be avoided, but supposing you give those things, and then, again they're hungry, or again they're being caught in the cycle of birth and death, and the wheel of karma, you haven't addressed that. So address the need of the soul first and foremost, and the other certainly can follow, but first and foremost the need of the soul. The classic example Prabhupada would give is there's a man that's drowning, and a very compassionate person swims out and rescues their jacket, and the person continues to drown. You have to say that the person is drowning. So the soul is within this complexity of material existence, and how to extricate the soul from that complexity, that's real compassion. And when you do that, this jacket is safe too. Okay, so now two more paragraphs. A devotee shows compassion to those poor souls who are wanting in spiritual knowledge by enlightening them in order to elevate them to Krishna consciousness. That is one of the duties of a devotee. He should also make friendship with persons who are on the equal level with himself, or who have the same understanding that he does. For a devotee, there is no point in making friendships with ordinary persons, semicolon. He should make friendship with other devotees, so that by discussing among themselves, they may elevate one another on the path of spiritual understanding. This is called Ishta Goshti. Ishta Goshti is a term that Prabhupada introduced really early in our Hare Krishna movement. That is, you know, sometimes instead of like this giving a class, or some other time, an extra time was scheduled when one might think there would be a class, but he would rather invite Ishta Goshti. Now then, Ishta Goshti kind of declined or went downhill and became like a business meeting. Okay, we have to arrange for Janmashtami festival. Who's going to, you know, cook the sabji, and who's going to make the garments? And that's different than what this sense of Ishta Goshti is. This is spiritual topics and discussing spiritual topics together. Language of Bhagavad Gita. When that happens, Ishta Goshti. And that thereby the members participating can help and illuminate and enlighten one another in spiritual topics just by the process of discussion. It happens like that. It's wonderful. And final paragraph. In Bhagavad Gita, there's reference to, oh, here it is, Bodhiyantak Parasparam, or discussing among themselves. Generally, pure devotees utilize their valuable time in chanting and discussing various activities of Lord Krishna or Lord Chaitanya among themselves. There are innumerable books, such as the Puranas, Mahabharata, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and Upanishads, which contain countless subjects for discussion among two or more devotees. Friendship should be cemented between persons with mutual interests and understanding. Such persons are said to be svajati, of the same caste, meaning spiritual, not material. The devotee should avoid a person whose character is not fixed in the standard understanding. semicolon. Even though he may be a Vaishnava or a devotee of Krishna, if his character is not correctly representative, then he should be avoided. One should steadily control the senses and the mind and strictly follow the rules and regulations, and he should make friendship with persons of the same standard. Very practical instructions. Just by regularly reading Prabhupada's books, the map of how to move through this complex life is, at least the elements are all there. The details are details. The principles to guide our lives by, it's all here. A point that's made here is made previously, and that is, while respecting, we discussed this the other morning, while respecting a person who is a Vaishnava, because of that quality of acceptance of Lord Vishnu or Lord Hari or Krishna as their master, their worshipable Lord. If such a person is by modes of nature influenced in non-standard ways or offensive ways, because that can happen, then the respect is from a distance, not intimately associating with those persons. However, the other is enjoined, make friendships with those that are of like-minded nature. And specifically, when the like-mindedness is not necessarily you're born in the same part of the country or something like that, but the attraction to Krishna. Just like that young man that came to the program last night from the temple. We had a little conversation. Are you from Boston? No, from Texas. San Antonio. Oh, San Antonio. So then he didn't know. He met the devotees here. But then when he went back to San Antonio, just a short distance from his home, there's a center. He didn't even know. So now he's back here and associating with devotees. So he's not a Boston, isn't Texas. Climate wise, or how people talk and how people behave. Just aside from India, America, it's just even within America, or one part of India, other part of India. So people's backgrounds and their cultural ways of doing things certainly are different. Their idioms of speech and so many things. We look beyond those things and see the attraction for Krishna. And this young man has really strong attraction for Krishna. It's nice. He was describing his liking for chanting and his disposition towards speculation. Very honestly. Krishna consciousness helps him become grounded in that area. So different persons, the way that they might say the same thing from different places might sound different, but there's similar principles that we're all dealing with. It's one of the things that I have noted very clearly when I visit China. Or recently we had this really nice experience, Sannyasi Gurus NGBC Sangha. We give it an acronym, SGGS. For 3 days. And I met, because we had breakout sessions regular, I met all kinds of people that I never had any interaction with. And one session was, there were a group of three sannyasi African devotees from Africa. So I asked them, what's it like, you know, preaching in Africa? Maybe people really like kirtan or really like prasadam, or, you know, how does it work? And then they started sharing, and in the course of sharing, it sounded like a repeat of experience that we have had in America. You know, there was the beginning days when Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj came, and it was rah, 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 and, you know, so many people came forward, and brahmacharis, we had so many devotees. For 10 years, it was just like, you know, the Hare Krishna explosion. And then, some of those brahmacharis wanted to get married. And they had no clue what to do. And they weren't prepared to maintain their family life, you know, so. And then we didn't have any infrastructure, so some of the brahmacharis tried to help those because they were our friends. And they went, you know, so to like get situated. Because they, you know, they didn't have any infrastructure at all. So it was kind of, things went down. And now, you know, this explanation, we have these nice temples with deities, we don't have anybody to take care of the deities. So, you know, it's the same. Africa. and we really want more association. We feel neglected. It was very explicit. And we're part of the Hare Krishna movement too, but we feel neglected. So, you know, and then, you know, similar things in China. So, although culture is different and bodily type is different and complexion is different and language is different, and they're very similar challenges that we meet all over the world. And the principle, the spiritual solution to the material problems are there, and the necessity of having systems of social structure and everything. We also devotee care and governance, and they're universal. And then how to gather those and assemble those requirements. The guidelines are here in the Bhagavatam. That's the treasure, or the education of the how to. And similarly, then it's respecting, as the verse says, respecting the acharya and the previous acharyas. Because what Prabhupada is writing is not just his own ideas, it's the previous acharyas in language and in its application that's appropriate for his audience. His audience was the world. So it's most valuable literature. Any discussion? We have a nice discussion group here, so I speak less and do questions and answers more. And some people have to go later. Comments or questions? Yes?
I see in our institution there is less emphasis, at least nowadays, on Acharya Upasana, or particularly the principle of acceptance of bona fide spiritual master. Like in Srila Prabhupada's time, it is very clear that Srila Prabhupada, and it just became a natural part of their devotional growth. But nowadays I see like mostly people would be gravitated towards doing services, and probably the devotees would be doing services for 30 years but without even a sense of trying to accept a bona fide spiritual master. And another thing that I have also observed is that it may also happen that sometimes they would be under some peer pressure or seeing others taking a more popular spiritual master, and they will just go towards without much thinking. I'm just wondering, like, what kind of change that could be brought about to re-emphasize on this most important principle?
Things were easy when there was only Srila Prabhupada, and things are more or less easy presently. You know, the multiplicity of initiating spiritual masters, but it's not only then when then one of the present paradigms that our leadership is considering more than your question is how to appropriately build or develop, cultivate emphasis within the society towards Shiksha Guru for a lot of reasons. Besides, you know, scripturally it's something that should be done. So this is a short response to your question. Is this is just a matter of maturing, and there has been de-emphasis on the Acharya principle for a number of reasons. One is the complexity of a multi-guru system, and you start emphasizing, because there was a period when it was like mega emphasized and overly emphasized, and it created big disturbance. So how to emphasize at the same time have not big disturbance, have maturity. It takes maturity to manifest maturity, a mature exhibition of Acharya Upasana. Therefore, one of the principles that needs to be nurtured is the founder Acharya for the present and the upcoming generations. So things, that which the gift that Prabhupada gave uniquely doesn't get neglected. Something not the same as but similar to, you visit Udupi. Ever visited Udupi?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, all you hear is, not all you hear. For certain, on a regular basis, one will hear Madhvacharya, 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 Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya, Madhvacharya, Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya, Madhvacharya. So, the integrity, the continuity of that line has been maintained because the, you know, super prominent position of Madhvacharya. And similar for Sri Vaishnavas, Ramanujacharya. And his, that, you know, certainly there, Vedanta Deshika and others have come, but it's Ramanujacharya. So, it's not the same, but it's similar in this time, that the position of Srila Prabhupada needs to be clearly established, and that Acharya Upasana principle repose in him. And based on his teachings, one who is transparently representing him is to be honored. And the other thing that you mentioned, you know, some people serving without taking shelter, that's a Boston thing. It's not like everywhere. And another, that's not even a Boston thing, it's certain individuals in Boston thing. And then the other, that's going to go on as long as immaturity exists. And immaturity is going to exist forever. You know, some people, you know, it's charisma is the thing. Or, you know, there's a bunch of people going that direction, so let's go that direction. Without really understanding principles of relationship, just being followers. It's going to happen where there's immaturity. So the recommendation I'm making is, first and foremost, make very two things. First and foremost, Srila Prabhupada's unique position as founder Acharya, and that's the place to repose the Acharya Upasana principle. And then, you know, a proper education and training, formal and, you know, informal, in how does that apply in your practical life for day-to-day instructions. And that, and one of the big ones is Shiksha Gurus. It's not small, it's big. And it's missing. And you know, that's an acharya upasana principle. The how that upasana or worship manifests is, you know, should be appropriate for the person and the circumstance and so many things. But it doesn't take away the principle. The principle is that special place in one's life that goes to Shiksha and, you know, Diksha Guru, but Prabhupada is in that prominent position. Something else?
Guruji, you mentioned, you read from the book about three things, if I remember correctly, respect for the spiritual master and the predecessors, and then compassion for the poor. Third thing I forget, but it said it all of these should be done in regulation, if I heard it correctly. And if you
could associated with peers.
Right.
And katnya bodhiyantas first, you know. Under regulation.
Yeah, why under regulation?
Well, so we don't go off into the ditch. So, but you know, the regulation doesn't mean, you know, something rigid.
Hmm.
You know, directional. This is an appropriate form for this expression, that expression.
Okay, and the guidance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
No.
Guru.
Yeah.
Guru Maharaj, so the example that you gave, saving the person instead of saving the court, who's drunk. It's my personal experience at home. While explaining it to my mom, I always get a kind of, she'll always say, okay, first you have to save them from their current situation, that is feed them and do that, and then you can talk about spirituality. So I always try to explain her and I always fail for some reason. I don't know how I can explain her. I mean, I'm not trying to convert her into Krishna conscious. I'm trying in a sense, but not completely apparently doing that. Trying to sneakingly do that so that she understands and she also benefits out of it. But I always find it very difficult situation in explaining these kind of simple concepts as well. So is there a way that we can approach for such
people? Well, somebody that two things. Somebody that's older, that has very firmly established values and convictions. Prabhupada's example is the old bamboo. And here comes a wind. No bamboo doesn't bend. No bamboo. If the wind is too strong, it's going to break.
Yes.
Whereas a young bamboo, it can bend. When the wind is very strong, it doesn't break. So, you know, I would advise that you don't try to, you know, don't blow too hard. Just be better. Be a nice example. It doesn't mean that your mother is going to change her views and her value system and those, you know, the way that she sees what is important in life. That's not an objective. But if she can, I mean, it's not a realistic objective. Maybe. But at least be an example.
The strange part is there that she envisages that the difference that is come in me, what was...
That's more powerful than any words that you can say.
She understands, she acknowledges...
Just let her be happy with that. You be happy that she's happy with that. And then here's the second thing. It's not a rule, but it's something that I've observed. Family members, in the context of their social networks and stuff, it's very, 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 very difficult for them to move from their position. They just, like, you know, they've got this whole way that they move around and see things and they live their life. However, that same person that spends some time out of that social environment, comes and spends time with their son or daughter or relative for some time and sees how they live their life and meets their friends and sees, you know, how their friends are what it's like. They're really normal people and they're really happy people and they're really good people. And they're, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Then, I've seen, they can, you know, something different starts to happen. They consider inwardly how they might adopt something. And initially it's just, you know, formality, but some it becomes from the heart. Not a rule, it's just an observation. So don't bend yourself out of shape or have her feel uncomfortable that you're uncomfortable with her because she's not accepting. Let her, it'll be no bamboo. Just like let her appreciate that she really liked what's happening to you.
Yeah, she does.
So what that means is she really liked Krishna consciousness.
She does.
How it's impacting you. But just don't expect her to accept Krishna consciousness.
Yeah,
But she indirectly is. And you're serving her is by being a good example. It will expand her appreciation for whatever it is that you're doing. She may not know the details of what it is that you're doing. That's okay. This is that, like that, the expression last night at the temple, you attending the class. Krishna speaks about the trees. Remember that?
Yeah.
And so, a saintly person is one who serves others by their life, their intelligence, their wealth, and their words. So this is like a words example. You don't have to give her life. But she can say, oh, this is very nice. Then she may want to, you know, steer you, saying, but you have too much emphasis on Krishna consciousness, you should do the philanthropy thing.
Yeah.
And then you can do the Krishna consciousness. Something else?
Maharaj, can I ask one question?
Sure.
So this is an extension of Prabhu's question, but this is a little bit different. So in this case, I'm the mother.
You're the mother.
And I have a 7-year-old son.
Okay.
And so it's just me and my 2 children in the house. So my son goes to school. He's very welcoming and he's a nice child. As a child, like, he's good and he acknowledges Krishna consciousness, he knows the things we follow and he enjoys it in the house. But once I went to the school to meet the teacher and I'm so used to saying Hare Krishna that I said Hare Krishna instead of saying hi, hello, I mean, how are you?
Yeah.
So when we came back home, he brought it to my attention, you're not supposed to say that. They don't do this. They don't know Krishna. Don't
Your son it. Said to you, don't yes. say like that to my teacher.
Yeah, and I didn't intend to say. I just, like, it came out, and, like, subconsciously or somehow, it just came out. So, and then he gave me this lecture when we came back home. Then I thought that, okay, in the house I'm giving him this environment, but actually he's not carrying it. And he's so smart, and he's young, but he's so smart that he's able to differentiate the two lives. So how do I, like, train? Like, how do I, like, merge? I want him to be I don't know if it's going to be real, but he should be, like, dedicating his life and go for Hare Krishna.
Well,
but,
it's not an uncommon thing. It's associated conversely. It is a common thing for youngsters, youth within the Hare Krishna movement. They have dual lives.
7-year-old child?
They have dual lives. And, you know, And for some, it's not, you know, a well-balanced dual lives. For some. And for some, they, you know, they don't have dual lives. They're just, whoever they are. And I'll say two things. One is support the insight that he has, rather than try to like change it, support it.
Like his duality?
No, it's not duality. It's discrimination. This is a proper behavior here, and this is that's a proper behavior at home, mommy. So you can support that. That's very nice. You're very sensitive to the people that you're with. You know, but then you paint another kind of a picture. Here's another option. And this is an option that mommy likes. So let him accept your perspective. You don't like try to, you know,
like, so this is what I'm doing?
No, when I see people, I've got Tilak, I've got Asari, I say Hare Krishna. That's what mommy does. Because here's why I do it. I want to remind people of Krishna. I don't want to like confront them or challenge them or make them uncomfortable. But I am who I am. And I can accept them for who they are. And that's how mommy does it. And by being who I am, you know, I'm reminding them of Krishna because they've forgotten him. And I think I get inspired. It wasn't deliberate, you know, when I said Hare Krishna, but it's just me. And by being me, I can remind people of their forgetfulness of Krishna, or remind them of Krishna who they've forgotten. And that's nice. I like that. And then you can go forward in time with him. You know, supposing, you know, go through the walk down the path of becoming a little bit older. Or, you know, it can be, you know, through passing through teenage life can be, you know, like a horror movie. And then, you know, but now you've finished your education, you're in the workplace. Now you're going to have two worlds. You're going to be, you know, like them, or and you know, not remind them of Krishna in the workplace. What about, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur? He wore tilak on the high court bench. He was really qualified. That's why he got the high court appointment. But he was making a statement. You know, big neck beads and tilak. And he was good. And people respected him. And by that, he helped people remember Krishna. So you may not do that. But is there a place for reminding people of Krishna outside of the home? What might that look like? And if it might look like that when you're working, what might it look like when you're your age? Or the next age, or the next age? Because if you're feeling uncomfortable, I mean, it's just not letting him use his imagination and creativity, and let him examine his own values rather than support. It's what you're doing is really good. Like, you're smart. There's someone before you that wants to speak. Go ahead.
So this is an extension to that. Like, I have two kids. I'm 7-year-old and I'm 16-year-old.
Okay.
So my 7-year-old, he listens to me, and he's very much liking it. He has that taste.
But
my 16-year-old, he had the taste. He used to come with me everywhere for kirtan and everything. But now he has stopped. He doesn't want to come anymore. And I'm just trying to find out what has happened, or it is his age, is that he doesn't want to mingle with the Krishna conscious people, or what. So I'm trying to understand every day, like my 7-year-old is doing everything what I tell him, he's liking it. So what is stopping him that he doesn't want to?
Yeah, that's the right question. But you know, you won't get the answer unless he sees that you can accept him for who he is. So just aesthetically. I'm gonna end class because it's 8 o'clock. So you're not at the opposite side of the table. You're on the same side of the table, and you're looking out at the world. And you ask your 16-year-old, "What do you see out there? What does life look like to you?" And you know, in terms of your life with Krishna, how does that feel to you? No judgments. Just like a friend talks to a friend, although your mom. You just talk like you just the relationship becomes. Prabhupada gave this teaching. When it's someone turns adolescent, the authority figure becomes the friend instead of the authority figure. And then work the relationship in such a way he feels comfortable disclosing anything. Like, and there's no judgment coming back. And then by that method and continuing to ask questions, "Oh really, how does that feel? What do you think?" Whatever the needed questions to help him explore, you know, himself. And then by the question method, you can help guide how he feels. Or how he chooses, rather, of the options that are in front of him. It's child psychology. Teenage life is tough. What to speak of being the mother of a teenager. I'm going to end the same class. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You all got some more.